Welcome to This Week in Wildcats Football. It is officially Week 5 in the Mid-States Football Association. Here on the show, I recap the previous matchup for the Wildcats and preview the upcoming game. With that being said, hello everybody, I'm Gannon Parker, and as always, I'm honored to be here in the studio today, and I'm glad you're here as well. The Wildcats traveled to Illinois this past weekend to take on the number 23-ranked Fighting Saints of St. Francis, Illinois. The result was a collective beatdown led by Kyle Antoine in the offense, also by Clayton Mosier in the defense, in which the Wildcats won the game 38-3. Indiana Wesleyan football now has moved up to number 4 in the latest NAIA football rankings. Before we get into that, let's take a look at the scores and standings in the Mid-States Football Association after Saturday's action. Siena Heights beat Defiance College 52-7. St. Francis, Indiana beat Madonna 70-7. Lawrence Tech beat Judson 77-18. Indiana Wesleyan beat St. Francis of Illinois 38-3. Marion beats Taylor to hand them their first loss, 35-34 in overtime, and St. Xavier beat Concordia by a score of 27-17. Looking at the standings, first we start with the Midwest League. Marion remains undefeated. They are 4-0. St. Francis, Indiana, and St. Xavier, and St. Francis, Illinois, all at 3-1 apiece. Olivet Nazarene at 2-2, and at the bottom, Judson at 1-3. Moving over to the Mideast League, the Wildcats of Indiana Wesleyan and the Taylor Trojans both atop at 4-1. Defiance College, Lawrence Tech, 1-3. Concordia and Siena Heights both 1-4. And at the bottom, Madonna still searching for their first win as they are now 0-5. Those are your scores and standings after Saturday's action. So the Wildcats win 38-3 against the Fighting Saints of Illinois, who are ranked number 23 in the NAIA. Quick scoring summary, Ryan Whitwell got the scoring started with a 9-yard touchdown run in the first quarter. Josh Clifton then tacked on a PAT. As for the Saints, Adrian Guerrero hit a 42-yard field goal. Moving over to the second quarter, Ryan Whitwell again found his way to the end zone with a 6-yard run. And then moving to the second half, Isaac Smith caught an 8-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine. Josh Clifton kicked a 25-yard field goal. Clayton Mosier had a 42-yard pick six. Then Isaac Smith took another one to the house, a 41-yard bomb from Kyle Antoine. Once again, your final score from that game, 38-3, just a dominant performance from the Wildcats, holding the Fighting Saints to just 3 points overall. One of the things that I highlighted last week as a part of the game preview for Saturday's game is how the Fighting Saints were a run-heavy team. They were averaging, I believe, around 200 yards per game, only about 100 through the air. I want to read this stat right here. The Wildcats picked up 202 total yards on the ground. The Saints, 24 yards total. They gained 59, but they lost 35 through sacks and hitting the halfback in the backfield. So only 24 total yards passing. The Wildcats were actually outgained. They gave up 209 yards while the Wildcats only netted 199. Just looking at some other stats, first downs, the Wildcats racked up 22 as opposed to the Saints 11. For the Wildcats, 12 of them rushing, 9 passing, 1 aided by penalty. For the Saints, 3 on the ground, 8 through the air, none were aided by penalty. Already went over passing and rushing. Total offense, the Wildcats racked up 401 yards on the on the day. As for the Saints, 233 total yards. And really just the Wildcats were dominant in several areas on the defensive end. A little surprising that they were actually outgained through the air. Part of that was Kyle Antoine was coming back off of injury. He had some soreness in his throwing arm, I believe some tendonitis. So he didn't play last week, but he came back for this game against the Fighting Saints. He looked really good just overall. Looking at some individual stats, Kyle Antoine went 15 of 20 for 182. He had 2 touchdowns. His longest was 41, and that one was to Isaac Smith, which he took all the way to the house. For the Saints, Sam Tumulty went 21 of 37 for 209 total yards, 1 interception. His longest was 33. He was sacked 3 times. Antoine was not sacked at all. Rushing, Ryan Whitwell, 31 attempts, 145 total yards, 2 touchdowns. His longest was only 11, averaging about 4.7 yards. Elijah Gibbs, 12 attempts, gained 55. His longest was 10, no touchdowns on the ground. Antoine ran it a couple times, only gained 5 yards. As for the Saints, Sam Tumulty was the leading rusher, actually. He had 10 attempts, lost 16, but gained 43, so doing all the math, that is 27. His longest was 18. Gavin Day, 5 attempts, only gained 4 yards. Blake Allen, 1 attempt, gained 4 yards. So the Wildcats, front 4, really front 7, just did a tremendous job shutting down the run game, which was a huge weapon for the Saints coming into this one. For receiving, Isaac Smith, 6 receptions, 94 yards, and 2 touchdowns. His longest was 41. Levi Tidwell, 4 receptions for 60. Ryan Whitwell, 3 for 19. And Tristan Hayes, 1 for 11. As for the Saints, Desian Jordan, 4 receptions for 77 yards. Joey Tumulty, 5 receptions for 49. Gavin Day, 6 receptions for 33. And Jason Hartsfield, 3 receptions for 19 yards. Hard to believe that somehow the Saints outgained the Wildcats through the air. But then you look at just the attempts. Antoine only attempted 20 passes. Tumulty completed 21, and he attempted 37, so almost double the amount of attempts. So if you just look at the basic stat sheet, you just go, wow, Wildcats gave up 209. They didn't even throw for that many. Yeah, they also had to throw the ball twice as much. Part of it is the Wildcats jumped out to an early lead and realized we can just milk the clock and run it with Whitwell and Gibbs. No Roosevelt Cage once again. That's the second week in a row that Cage has not been in the lineup for the Wildcats. So that is something to keep an eye on. Cage has really just been a really good running back too. Elijah Gibbs and Cage really fighting for that running back two spot. But anytime you can have that sort of competition between teammates is always something that is a good thing. As for just the offense overall, I was talking to Levi Tidwell on Thursday before the game, and I asked him about the return of Kyle Antoine. He said, you know, he was excited to have Antoine back. He was more than impressed with the way that Lothe handled himself against Olivet Nazarene. The way he played, he set a school record. He was just through the roof about his performance coming in as a backup for Antoine. But he is excited to have Antoine back, and he knew that they were going to have to air it out a little bit more and test some of these corners for the Saints, because he acknowledged that the Saints had not played against some, you know, stellar receivers from other schools. And he meant that, and, you know, no offense to any of the teams, but he knew the kind of talent that the Wildcats have, and they showcased it on Saturday. Moving over to the defensive side of the ball, allowing any opponent to only 3 points is a stellar performance for a defense. Once again, the defense able to get involved in the scoring. Clayton Mosier had a 42-yard pick 6 for the Wildcats. I just want to read off some of these stats. Mosier had another monster game. 11 total tackles, 8 solo, 3 assisted, 1 interception. Devin Arevalo, 6 solo tackles, 2 assisted, making 8 total. Luke Bays, 5 total tackles, 3 assisted, 2 solo. Similar situation with Anthony Cheeseborough, 4 total tackles, 2 solo, 2 assisted. Drake Deshetsky, 4 total tackles, 2 solo, 2 assisted. So just a nice job overall by the Wildcats defense, doing a nice job shutting down the run, but also forcing the Saints to pass and really just making those guys throw into trouble. Just a dominant performance all around by the Wildcats. I was more than impressed with the way that they played. Not a ton of flash, which, you know, style points don't really matter. You hear coaches say that all the time. A win is a win, and this was a really good win to get on the road against a team that they're not too familiar with. The Wildcats, you know, they play certain teams every year. They're going to play Madonna. They're going to play Marion. They're going to play Taylor. All the teams over in the Mideast League. But for the Midwest, some of those teams don't come around every year, so you're getting new players every time you play them. And one of the things that you just have to be aware of is you don't really know exactly how good they are going to be until you get there. And one of the things that Coach Rohde stresses is taking it one game at a time and focusing on just the team that is across from you, not the other teams, just take it one game at a time. And they showed it. They have played exceptional ball against every MSFA opponent they have faced so far this season. After Saturday's game, some of the stats overall for the Wildcats, they're averaging 47 points per game while only allowing 7.4. For those of you who are good at math, the Wildcats have scored 235 total points through their first five games while only allowing 37 yards gained overall. For rushing, they have gained 1,060 yards on the ground, only allowing 706. For passing, they're averaging about 290.4 yards per game while only allowing 164.6 yards per game. In total, that's 1,452 to only 823. So really, in every major category, the Wildcats are just doing a phenomenal job of dominating their opponents. The one that has been a bit of a killer is penalties. The Wildcats have given up 36 or committed 36 penalties this year, while opponents have only committed 24 penalties. A bit of an alarming stat as well. They're averaging giving up 87.6 yards per game through penalties, while their opponents are only giving up 43 yards through penalties. So one of the things that I'm sure Coach Rohde has been stressing to his team over these past few weeks is cleaning up some of the sloppy play, because they're just giving away field position each and every game. And I don't want to be too negative on a team that has just looked stellar. They're 4-1 right now. They're ranked number 4 in all of NAIA, which if they can continue this winning streak into the end of the year, that's going to set the Wildcats up for really good home field advantage throughout the national tournament, which means until they get to the semifinals, obviously you want to take it one game at a time. You don't want to get ahead of yourself. But if you take it, you know, until the semifinals, that's when you'll have to play your first road game. Other than that, you'll have home field advantage for the first couple weeks, if I'm not mistaken. Last year, they had a similar situation. They were in the top four for essentially all of the season. They went undefeated, beat every opponent, including Valparaiso, which is a D1 school. They beat everybody. And then in the last game of the year, it was a road game, they lost Concordia, which made them split the Mid-States Football Association title, and it made them lose better home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They did have a home playoff game. I believe they were ranked number 6. They won that game against Coach Rohde's former team, which was just a great game by the Wildcats overall. But then they had to go on the road, in which they ended up losing. It was a really unfortunate end of the season, because they came into that last week with so much momentum, and then just to have it taken away was just devastating for the Wildcats, because they had to go on the road and play some really good teams. And it really, I think, was the ultimate difference maker in their season. A couple years ago, they were ranked number 4, and so they had more home playoff games until the semifinals, where they had to go on the road, and they eventually lost in the semifinals. But home field advantage is so important for any team, so the Wildcats have put themselves in a good position to secure pretty much home field advantage until the semifinals. But it really does just have to be a one game at a time thing. So that was your weekly game recap. But before we move ahead, I want to highlight Levi Tidwell. In the later parts of last week, after I had done the episode, it was announced that Tidwell was a semifinalist for the 2024 William V. Campbell Trophy. Celebrating its 35th year, the Campbell Trophy recognizes an individual as the absolute best in the country for his combined academic success, football performance, and exemplary leadership. And the candidates also comprise the pool of nominees for the 2024 NFF National Scholar Athlete Awards, presented by Fidelity Investments. So these players are nominated by their schools, and these candidates for the awards must be a senior or graduate student in their final year of playing eligibility, have a GPA of at least 3.2 on a 4.0 scale, have outstanding football ability as either a first-team player or a significant contributor, and have demonstrated strong leadership and citizenship. Quote here from head coach Andrew Rohde: Levi has lived his life to the fullest at his time at IWU. He has had incredible achievements on the football field and in the classroom. We are incredibly proud to have him as a captain for our team, and this honor of this award is a celebration of an outstanding career for him. That was a quote from head football coach Andrew Rohde. Tidwell, as somebody who has interacted with him on a few occasions, as well as I just know people who are in classes with him, I've never heard a bad thing get said about this guy. I mean, he is true salt of the earth. Like many players on the Wildcats, both in the football team, other athletic organizations here at IWU, just wonderful people. And Tidwell is one of the most deserving individuals I can think of for this award. So huge congrats to Levi Tidwell. We're all pulling for him to get that award. So moving ahead to Saturday's game, the Wildcats return home to play host to the number 13-ranked St. Xavier Cougars out of Illinois. The Cougars are coming off of a 27-17 win against Concordia, and this matchup between the Wildcats and the Cougars marks the second time they have faced off on the gridiron, with the Wildcats winning their first matchup, which took place last year at St. Xavier, and the Wildcats were victorious by a score of 16-15. So this should be an exciting matchup. The Cougars of St. Xavier right now on the season are 3-1. They have beaten all of their Mid-States Football Association counterparts. Going over their schedule, September 7th, they played at Lawrence Tech. They won that game 31-7. And then they hosted number 10-ranked St. Thomas University from Florida. They lost that game 33-14, and then traveled to Medina, winning that one 55-13 against the winless Crusaders. And then they traveled back home, where they hosted Concordia. And as I mentioned earlier, they won that game 27-17. So against the teams that they're supposed to be putting away, they have done that each and every time. I mean, Medina, I mean, it was no contest. They destroyed Lawrence Tech, and then they beat Concordia. I mean, that one loss, that's not really a tough loss, one that you say, well, they should have won. They should have been more competitive. 33-14 against the number 10 ranked team in the country. I mean, that's a big ask. You would have hoped for a little more of a competitive game, but I mean, it's kind of like just NCAA Division I, where number 23 or 24, actually, I think Indiana right now is 23, so shout out to the Hoosiers. But they're 23. If they played against, you know, who's at number 10, I don't really think it'd be that close of a game. I think Michigan is ranked number 10. But regardless, it may just be a similar situation there. So now they play the number 6-ranked Indiana Wesleyan Wildcats. Just looking at their most recent game, that is St. Xavier against Concordia, they led the entire way in the first quarter. Stuart Ross threw a 13-yard touchdown pass to Jesse Plunkett. Then Caden Thomas kicked a 32-yard field goal for the Cardinals, and then St. Xavier went right back. Stuart Ross tossed an 8-yard touchdown pass to Julian Smith, and then he hit Kyle Quinn for another touchdown pass of 5 yards. And then Peyton Baines hit a 22-yard field goal in the fourth quarter. Then Concordia started to make it a game. Jordan Garcia caught a 23-yard touchdown pass from Colby Kameshki, and then Davin Coates took a 60-yard touchdown. It was an interception off of the hands of Stuart Ross, which really made it a competitive game. That was only 2 minutes after they scored their offensive touchdown, and then the Cougars put the game away with a Peyton Baines 23-yard field goal with just over 2 minutes to go in that game. Just some stats for the Cardinals. Colby Kamesh, 13 of 25, 114 yards, one touchdown and one interception. For the Cougars, Stuart Ross, 23 of 36, 193 yards, 3 touchdowns, did throw 2 interceptions. He was sacked once. For the Cougars, rushing, Brandon Stewart, 9 attempts, 46 total yards. James Carpenter, 5 attempts, 17 total yards. There were no touchdowns on the ground for either team. For the Cougars, Mario Price, 8 attempts, 47 yards. Jesse Plunkett, 15 attempts, 39 yards. Ryan Fitzgerald, 3 attempts for 21. For receiving, starting with the Cardinals, Jordan Garcia, 5 receptions, 53 yards. He had the only offensive touchdown of the day. for the Cardinals. Seager DeGaynor, 2 receptions for 21, and then Brandon Stewart, 2 receptions for 12 yards. As for the Cougars, Mario Price, 4 receptions for 51 yards. Joe Placelli, 4 receptions for 39. Julian Smith, 4 receptions for 32 and a touchdown. And Kyle Quinn, 5 receptions, 24 yards, and a touchdown as well. So those were your main stats on offense. As for the defense, Chase Maynard, 17 tackles overall. 11 were assisted, 6 solo. Ethan Burroughs, 10 total tackles, 7 which were assisted, and 3 were solo tackles. Davion Coates, 1 reception for 60 yards. That was a house call. He had 5 total tackles, 2 assisted, 3 solo. So just all around, the defense for the Cougars was flying around against the Cardinals, only allowing 10 points overall as the Cougars threw a pick six, so that one's not on the Cougars' defense. Kelly Matthews, 7 total tackles, 4 assisted, 3 solo. Liam Carey, 9 total tackles, 7 assisted, 2 solo. And Andrew Van Dyke, 7 total tackles, 5 assisted, 2 solo. So defense really just, once again, flying all over the field, getting involved, helping out their teammates. There were a lot of tackles overall, many of which were assisted. So you read some of those stats and go, man, they were, I mean, how many plays did the Cardinals offense run? But then when you add them up, a lot of them were assisted. But nonetheless, getting to the ball fast and in a hurry seems to be the way for this Cougars defense. And I'm excited to see what they do. Just looking at some overall team stats for the Cougars on rushing, they're averaging just over 120 yards per game while allowing 105 yards on the ground. So overall, that's 578 to 529. As for the offense passing, they're averaging 266.5 yards through the air while only giving up 181 yards. And in total, that is 1,066 to 724 points per game, 31.75 while only allowing 17.5. In total, that's 127 points through 5 games while only allowing 70 overall. So both of these teams, or I guess for the Cougars, they've only played 4 games. The Wildcats have played 5 because they played in week 0, so my apologies on that one. But overall, this is somewhat of a similar situation, I feel like, with a lot of the teams that we have seen so far that the Wildcats have faced, where all the stats favor them. Say, oh, well, they're outgaining their opponents, they're doing this better, they're doing that better. But, you know, I'm not sure how well that the Cougars will fare at this one. They hosted a number 10 team and just kind of got beat up. Now they travel to Marion, to Wildcat Stadium. Granted, it will be fall break for Indiana Wesleyan students. Some you know, you're allowed to stay behind since it's only a 2-day break. It's not a full week. So there will probably be some students, but it will not be anything near what the Wildcats and Marion is accustomed to seeing, where the student section is packed out with fans ready to go, making noise. So that could be an advantage for the Cougars. I've talked to several players, and one of the things that they love about playing for the Wildcats, amongst other things, is the home field advantage they feel with the Wildcats. They've only lost maybe a handful of games since they began as a team in 2018. They've only lost a handful of games at Wildcat Stadium. So one of the things that it's just a tough place to play in if you're coming in as a visitor. The Cougars coming off a win against Concordia. This should be an exciting game for the Wildcats. Starting on offense, one of the things they got to do is just keep feeding the running backs. You got Ryan Whitwell and Elijah Gibbs, who have just been lights out pretty much all season. They have scored a majority of the touchdowns. And, I mean, they just have been able to run wild. We saw in the Valpo game, which is by far the toughest opponent on their schedule, both scores were put in the end zone by the running backs. That wasn't, you know, Isaac Smith or Levi Tidwell, Miles Cox, whatever receiver you want to put in. Those were the running backs who scored for the Wildcats. So I think just getting a heavy dose of those two guys is going to set the tone early. The front five has been phenomenal for the Wildcats. They've done a nice job, one, protecting Antoine, but also giving lanes for their running backs. has been complete dominance against just about every team they have played so far this year. As for throwing the ball through the air, Antoine, I mean, he spreads the ball out just impeccably. He just does a nice job getting his receivers involved. When you got to worry about Levi Tidwell, you got to worry about Isaac Smith, you got to worry about Caden Curry, you got to worry about Miles Cox. You have four receivers who are just dominant. What do you do as a defensive coach? Because you say, okay, put our number one corner on, just hypothetically, let's put it on Tidwell. Okay, well, who's our number two guarding? Always guarding Isaac Smith. Oh, okay, well, who's our three guarding? Miles Cox. Oh. So you start doing the math. You say, okay, well, we'll put our number one on Isaac Smith. Okay, well, who's covering Levi Tidwell? Most teams are going to run out of good defensive backs before the Wildcats run out of good receivers. I mean, they just have a phenomenal wide receiver core, and that's part of the development that the Wildcats have been very good at over the years. Antoine, Isaac Smith, Kane Curry, Levi Tidwell, and Miles Cox, these have all been guys who have been in this system for a number of years, so they have been watching, learning, and growing, which really is what college football is all about. We've seen with NIL where now it's more about money rather than developing players. But props to the Wildcats coaching staff, both Lang and now Rhodey, who has taken over and just done an amazing job there. As for the defense, I mean, first you got to get after the quarterback. Stuart Ross, overall, he's completing 64% of his passes. He's attempted 129 passes through four games. He's thrown five interceptions. He's got eight touchdowns, 872 yards overall. He's averaging 218 yards per game. So, I mean, the DBs should be ready to feast. Eight touchdowns is good, but five interceptions, any defense that hears those kinds of numbers think, okay, you know, if we can get after the quarterback, and that's where it's going to fall in the front seven. Mosier, who has just been going on a tear lately. Dushetsky, I feel like he's due to have another monster game. He started off the season really well, injured his hand, and it really hasn't been the same since then. A player who has been somewhat quiet is Robbie Hunter Jr., one of the big nose tackles up front. You know, I expect him to – I think this will be his coming out game for 2024. Anthony Cheeseborough has just been dominant, forcing quarterbacks into throws while also forcing running backs to not be able to hit their lanes, forcing them outside, and that's where the linebackers come in and finish off the job. So I think this game's really going to fall on the front seven, forcing Stuart Ross to, you know, make some bad throws. The only reason Concordia was competitive in that game last Saturday is because of Stuart Ross. Now, he did a nice job leading the offense. The problem is he threw a pick six, which got the Cardinals back in the game. They had just scored a touchdown, so they already had momentum. Then you throw in a pick six. Pick sixes are momentum killers. And so for the Cardinals to be able to add to their momentum, granted they still won the game because the Cardinals defense was not able to stop them. They kicked a field goal, which put them up 10, made a two-possession game. I get all that. So the Cougars did what they had to when it mattered most. But respectfully, the Cardinals are not the Indiana Wesleyan Wildcats. The Wildcats are a much better football team. They're ranked number four in the NAIA for a reason. So I think it's going to be crucial for the defense to get off to a fast start, and the offense – I mean, the offense, just keep doing what you're doing. There's no real game plan, I feel like, for each individual team so far that they have played. They're going to start playing some really good teams down the stretch. I mean, Taylor is 4-1, for crying out loud. That's something I really never thought I would say in my 4 years here at Indiana Wesleyan, but they are 4-1 right now, and they have looked pretty solid. But the Wild, so far, just keep doing what you're doing on offense. Spread the ball around, mix up some passing and some rushing, hit the play action, and they're going to be just fine. The defense, force the quarterback into bad throws, plug up the lanes for rushing. The front seven, I think they're going to have a good day. And as the game goes on, the defensive backs are really going to get involved, as well as Stuart Ross is going to have to start taking some more chances. So it should be a good one. I expect the Wildcats to come away with a good victory here, just keep that winning streak going, improving to 5-1 on the season. Kickoff for the Wildcats and Cougars is at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's all for this week, Wildcats football.